every one of us, not just our children, amen. I want to stay faithful to the fight. I want to stay faithful to the faith and faithful to the finish. Just as Paul was able to say, I fought a good fight, finished my course, I've kept the faith. Grab your Bibles, go to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter number 78. So glad you're in church this morning. So many times we have so many other things that are going on in our lives. Thank you for taking the time, making God important to you, to your family, showing your children it's the right thing to be in the house of God. God will bless you for it. Psalms chapter 78. We're going to read one verse. When you get there, stand with me. Psalm 78, we'll read one verse. And then we'll begin to break down a lot of the passage. I've got a simple truth for you this morning. I want to help you in your Christian life. Psalm 78, look at verse number 19. We'll read one verse. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? The title of the message this morning is, Can God? Can God? So what I'm preaching is, let's go ahead and pray. We'll get in the message. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of your word. God, we thank you that you're a God that's not only able, but willing to work in our lives. We've studied that in our Sunday school lesson. We are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You've invested in us. You spend the time necessary to love us, to care for us. But a lot of times we go through trials. We go through hard times and we ask the same question. God, can you? Can you really? Can you furnish a table in the wilderness? Can you guide my family while we're struggling? Can you do this? Help us, Lord, to understand who you are this morning and what you have for us. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. We ask these things in your name. We pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here are the children of Israel in Psalms chapter number 78. We're going to get a little bit of a look into how they operated, and we're going to see a lot of truths from the wilderness journey here in Psalms chapter number 78. Go all the way back to verse number 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're not going to belabor the point, but there's quite a bit that I do want to get to in this chapter. Go to verse number 1. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Here, God wants to reveal some truth to us. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Here, he said he would utter dark sayings of old. Here, he said, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. God's saying, I'm about to speak up. I'm about to tell you some truths. And I'm ready. You got to be ready to hear them. You got to be ready to take them in. Our text verse is verse number 19. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Of course, the title is Can God? And many times today, we become just like the Israelites in this situation. Many times we ask ourselves, can God really do this today like he did back then? Listen, I understand that back then God spoke and the thunders roared and the lightning shattered. Back then, God descended in a cloud on Mount Sinai and God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaking to a friend. We know that God spoke with an audible voice all through the Old Testament. He talked to Abraham. He talked to Samuel. He talked to David. He talked to Solomon. He talked to so many of them in an audible way. Isaiah as well. Jesus Christ came in the flesh and there were great miracles that were done in the New Testament. And a lot of times when we read the truths of the Word of God, we begin to ask ourselves the same question. Can God do this today? A lot of times we ask that. God, I know you did it for my forefathers. God, I know you worked on behalf of others in the faith and the martyrs that served you. And you worked on behalf of the apostles. And we read the great stories of old. And we see what you did in the Bible. But then we ask the question, but God, can you really do that today? God, can you? Can you furnish a table in the wilderness? Here the children of Israel were going through the wilderness journey. They were there for 40 years. They were struggling. They were going through hard times. Let's look at some things here. Look at verse number 3. Here again, God says, listen up, I've got some truths I want to give to you. Verse number 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Some of you are sitting in here and you've heard the stories of old and you've heard the blessings and you've heard how God worked in the lives of your grandparents and of your parents and even of your lives and your spouse and some of you children in here. You've heard the stories of old and the stories from your families, how they shared with you what God has done in your life and how God has performed a miracle and how God has great plans for you. You've heard all these things. That's what Psalmist is saying. We've heard and we've known. Our fathers have told us. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He had done. Some of you in here, you've raised children for the glory of God, and your children may be in church today, and they're raising children now for the glory of God, and their children could be in church as well, and we're seeing generation after generation of people that are serving God today. But don't think just because somebody's faithful to God like that, they don't still doubt and ask the question, can God really do this? Because we all go through times of doubt in our lives. We all go through times of unbelief in our lives. We all go through times where we're a little distressed, where we're a little discomfited by the things of the world, and we really don't know, can God do this today? We got a lot of problems in our world. We got a lot of problems in our society. We're praying for peace in the Middle East. We're praying for God to bring revival to America. And I've heard a lot of preachers say that America has lost hope and America is gone and God can't bring revival. I've heard preachers say that. But listen, we ask a question, can God really do that? Well, the answer is yes, God can. God can do absolutely whatever He sees fit. But let's look. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His strength, His wonderful works that He hath done. What has He done? Verse 5, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. He's given us the Word of God. We've seen it through the lives of others, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. He has given us the command. We know that's back in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, that we're to lay this down for our children and we're to teach our children the same things that we've been taught. In 2 Timothy 2:2, we're to take the things that we have heard and we're to pass them on to the next generation. The Bible tells us that very clearly. Look at verse number 6. Why? That the generation to come might know them. Might know what? That they might know the law. That they might know the wonderful works of our God. That they might know the things that God's done in our lives. Because we want the next generation to understand that just because God has done a work for me doesn't mean that God can't work in your generation. God, yes, is my God, but God can be your God too. And we got to teach the next generation that. That they might know even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. This is a generational thing. This is what we would refer to as the perpetuity of the gospel. It goes on generation after generation after generation. It's never ending. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. Why are we telling our children of the great things that God has done in our lives? Why are we telling our children of the miracles that God has worked in our family and where God has brought us from and now where God has brought us to and all the things that God currently does in our lives? Why do we tell these to our children? Notice verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. There is nothing in this world that they can give to your family. This world cannot offer anything in comparison to what God has for your children. The world has no entertainment that can compare to God, although they try. Listen, the church is not in a contest with the world. We're not trying to offer new things to the children. We're going to give them the Word of God just like we give you the Word of God. Amen. We can't compete with the things the world is offering right now. We have something far better, and that is Jesus Christ. We teach these to our children. Why? That they might set their hope in God. We don't want our children to hope in the things of the world. We don't want our children to be raised up in a home that's a godly home and they come to a Christian school and they come to church week in and week out. And we don't want them to raise up and just buy their time and say, man, when I get out of this place, I'm going to go to the world. Then I'm really going to make it big and I'm really going to live life. No, we want them to set their hope in God. We want them to understand the great things that God has done. We want them to understand where God has brought us from and where God is taking us to. Then notice, and not forget the works of God. We tell our children the things that God's done so they don't forget. Because guess what? In the Christian life, it's easy to forget the things that God is doing. It's easy to... Listen, God blesses on a level that we cannot fully comprehend and fathom. And sometimes, looking back, we forget the blessings of God. I was sitting in my office just a few weeks ago, And I was typing out, I began typing the list of the blessings of what God's already done this year alone. And I told my wife, I said, I had to go back and had to re-edit some things. I had to add some stuff because I kept forgetting. Because it's easy for us to forget. It's easy for us to look and, well, okay, God did that, and we move on. But we don't relish what God actually did. Listen, the Creator of the universe worked on your behalf. He invested in your life. He salvaged your family. That's what God did. And we forget that. That we might not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And then notice verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Why were the children of Israel in the wilderness to begin with? Well, they were in the wilderness to begin with because back in Numbers chapter number 14, there were 12 spies that were sent to Canaan land. You know the song we sing in junior, 12 men with 2 spies on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Right? You know the song. So 12 men with the spy on Canaan, 10 were bad. They began to view all the different things that were going on. They began to view all the different problems that were in the area. The two that were good were Joshua and Caleb. And they saw the land and they said, man, this is a good land. Man, look at the fruit. Look at the size of those grapes. Those are phenomenal. Look at what God has planned for us. Look at the vineyards. We don't have to work for that. Look at the wells that have been digged. Look at the cities that have been built. All we've got to do is we've got to go and claim the land that God has given to us. Look at what God's done for us. And they thought about that. And then the other said, oh no, we be too small. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They're giants in the land. We can't fight them. We can't do anything. And they came back and they gave an evil report to the people of God. And they doubted the presence of God. And they doubted that God could give them the victory. But Joshua and Caleb knew God could give them the victory. And God says that He cursed them. And for 40 days they had gone into the land of Canaan to survey the land. And they chose not to go up and fight the land. And God says, I'm going to judge you a year for every day. And so for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness till all the generations died off that were over the age of 20 except for Joshua and Caleb. Every one of them died in the wilderness. Here, they were stubborn. They were rebellious. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You see, Joshua and Caleb, their spirit was steadfast. They knew that God said He would give it to them and all they had to do was trust God. And they knew that God could furnish the table in the wilderness. They knew there was nothing too hard for God. They knew all they had to do was step out by faith and that God would give them the land. That's all they had to do was take it. And God would give it to them. Look at verse 9. Notice what happened here. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. I read this verse and I began to get burdened by the fact that we have young people that are in this room that are armed and they're preparing for the day of battle. But many of them are going to be like the children of Ephraim. They were armed. They were carrying bows. But the Bible says they turned back in the day of battle. There are some in this room right now, you've been armed with the Word of God. You're carrying bows. You've got your weapon. You've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know what God has told you to do. But then it comes time for the battle and a time to stand up for the cause of Christ. And the Bible says the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, they turn back in the day of battle. And some of you in this room this morning are just like the children of Ephraim. You've been armed. You've heard the Word of God. You've been prepared. You've been given the Word of God. God's given you the truths on how to lead your family, man. God's given you the truths, husband and wife, on how to raise your children for the glory of God. You've been armed. You've been carrying the bows. You're prepared for the day of battle. But when the battle comes, you turn your back on God and you begin to do things your way instead of the way God tells you to. You turn back in the day of battle. You say, but it's too difficult. It's too hard to raise a godly child in today's society. No, it's not too difficult. God says we could do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, the Bible says. We've been armed. We're carrying bows. When the day of battle comes and the tough time comes, don't turn your back on God. Understand that God has a plan and God has a purpose for your family. And just like God was going to give them the land of Jericho and the land of Canaan, all they had to do was trust. All they had to do was step forward and follow God. As a matter of fact, when they finally did cross into Canaan land in Joshua, all they did was march around the city of Jericho. They didn't even lift a finger to fight. God fought for them. All they had to do was trust God. See, in your Christian life, all you've got to do is be armed. All you got to do is carry the weapon. All you got to do is be prepared in the day of battle and then stand fast. The Bible said, then be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now, brothers, we're all burdened that we got a bunch of people in churches today. According to verse 9, they've been armed. They've got their weapon, but they're not going to fight. They're not going to fight because they don't want to fight for the hard fight, the fight. They don't want to fight the battles. They just want to give up. It's easier just to give in and to give up and to roll over and to die and to allow the children to run the home. It's easier just to allow a rebellious wife to run against God. It's just easier to do whatever you want to do and to let the family go to hell. It's just easier. But listen, sometimes living the Christian life, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes serving God is not always fun. Listen, let me just be real with you for a minute. Sometimes you're going to go through hard times. Sometimes you're going to go through some battles. Sometimes you're going to face some adversity. But the Bible says we should rejoice in those times. And when we're armed and we're prepared for the day of battle, don't be like the children of Ephraim. Don't turn your back on God. We got far too many casualties today in the ministry. We got far too many casualties in church today. I talked to several different preachers and they shared with me different things. I was talking to a pastor back in June. And three different men of God resigned their churches in a week's time period. They turned their back in the day of battle. They let down their guard. Sin got involved. They were prepared. They were armed. They were ready. They were some of the choicest servants. But they turned their back on God. We're going through all this. I'm going to get to the crux of the message in just a moment. This is all foundation. But I want you to understand, they asked the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Why did they get to the point to where they were doubting God? Because they were armed. They were ready. They knew it all. They weren't ready to apply it all. Listen to me now. Listen to me, okay? They knew the truths. They heard the truths. They had consumed the truths. They had been taught the truths from early on. They were not ready to apply the truth. Now, you can come to church all you want, and you can listen to the truths of the Word of God, and you can hear the preaching of the Word of God, and you can hear the truths being belted and hollered and screamed and snorted, and we can tell you all about what God is going to do in your life. But until you're ready to apply the Word of God, you're going to turn your back in the day of battle. You've got to apply the truth. You can hear it all day long, and it's going to fall on deaf ears, but until you start doing what God says to do, then you're not going to be able to stand in the fight. Verse 10. What they do when they turn back? They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. Not only did they not keep the covenant, they adamantly refused. They said, no, I know I'm supposed to live that way. I'm not doing it. And they turned their back on God. Come on. Let's put the rubber where it meets the road real quick. Some of your homes are that way. Some of your homes are that way. Where a man of God is saying, I'm going to do this. And we're going to serve God. And we're going to lead our family to do this. And some of you kids are saying, I refuse to go that way. And you turn your back in the day of battle. Are you listening to me? Some of you have laid a foundation for your home and you're setting up an establishment for your home of we're going to serve God and we're going to live for the Lord and we're going to be a unit that's serving the Lord with all of our might. But you may have a spouse that says, I refuse to do that. And they've turned their back on God and they've left in the day of battle. Are you listening to me? Now's not the time to look down. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Okay? Pay attention. I'm trying to help you this morning. Amen. I want to help you. Amen. Here, they question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Why did they question? Because they turned their back on God. Because they knew the truths, but they didn't apply the truth of the Word of God. And when times got tough, they turned their back on God. And now they're over here away from God and they're questioning, can God really do this? Listen, you're the one that left God. And then we wonder, can God do it? Yes, God can do it. All we got to do is get right with God. God can do anything. Look at verse number 11. They kept not His covenant in verse 10. They refused to walk in His law. They refused to do the Word of God. Verse 11, they forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. God had blessed their families. God had worked in their lives. God had saved their children. God had restored their marriage. They had forgotten all the works that God had done. They turned their back on God. Verse 12, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. What did he do? He divided the sea. He caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand up in heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud. They were in the wilderness. They were in the desert. He led them by a cloud so they had some coolness in the day. He led them at night with the light of fire at the end of verse 14. Why? So they had some warmth in the cold desert. Verse 15, he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. Here he opened the rocks up and he poured water out for them. 2 to 3 million Jews, he gave them water where there was no water. And now they're questioning, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Listen, God gave you water in a dry and a desert land. Yes, God can furnish a table in the wilderness. Notice what he did. Verse 16, he brought streams also out of the rocks, caused waters to run down like rivers. If you go over to the Middle East today, you'll see areas that have erosion where water has run out like rivers. And now they're just covered with dirt and sand everywhere. Verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Verse 19, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, verse 20, he smote the rock and the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Listen, they ask God, can you furnish a table in the wilderness? God begins to give them water. They said, oh yeah, can you give us meat too? Oh yeah, can you give us bread too? Can you do this? Can you do that? All they did was spend their time questioning whether God could do something. Listen, you're never going to get anywhere in your spiritual walk with God if all you do is spend your spiritual life questioning whether or not God can. Here, that's all that we're doing. God, can you do this? God, can you do this? Listen, we lack so much faith today. The Bible says in the Gospels that Jesus Christ did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. One of the reasons, put the verse on the back wall right there, behind Brother Ron and Brother Brandon, is anything too hard for the Lord? Because I want to ask some hard things of God. I want to ask God to do some things that we don't understand how He's going to do it, but we're going to believe by faith that He will. And then we matched it with that verse right there. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we look at things and we wonder, I just can't see it. I just don't understand. I don't know how God's going to provide it. Listen, we walk by faith, not by sight. We're going to trust that God can provide. We're going to trust that God can do what He said He would do. Here, verse 21. Therefore the Lord heard this, what happened, and was wroth. God got upset with their lack of belief. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Why? Because they believed not in God. They didn't believe their God. The very God that had just delivered them from the land of Egypt, the very God that had just provided the food and the shelter and the clothing, even the jewelry from the Egyptians paid them a great sum to leave. And God had provided all of that. Here they didn't believe in their God and trusted not in His salvation. Here they saw God work. They saw God move. But they weren't trusting in Him. Though He had commanded, verse 23, the clouds from above opened the doors of heaven. He had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. And He sent them meat to the full. Listen, what more does God have to do in your life for you to be able to trust in Him? This is what happened. Man ate angels' food. Manna, food from heaven. And they still question God. Every day we come to church, we eat manna. We get food from heaven. We get fed from the Word of God. Every day in our lives, God gives us grace and God gives us mercy and God works wonderful miracles. The Bible says He daily loadeth us with benefits. Yet we go throughout our lives and we question, can God do this? What more does God have to do in your life? Verse 26, He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. By His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. He let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. Listen, He didn't just provide food. He literally airmailed the food to them. And they didn't have Amazon to deliver. He provided everything. They didn't have to go out and get it. It was in the midst of the camp. All they had to do was go and grab it. God provided. But you know what? God also sets stuff in your lap all the time. You come to church and God gives you the truths of the Word of God, and God takes this Bible and He sets it right in your lap and shows you exactly how to have a godly family, but you choose not to do it. God shows you exactly how to have a godly home and you choose not to do it. God shows you exactly how to have obedient children and how to raise godly children for the glory of God, and you choose not to do it. God shows you how to have the proper finances and how you're supposed to tithe, and you choose not to do it. How much more does God have to do for us? Notice what your Bible says. Verse number 29. So they did eat and were well filled, for He gave them their own desire. God gave them to their filling, and they still complained. Does that sound familiar in your life? I know it sounds familiar to me, because I get the same way. God blesses and God blesses and God gives and God does, and I still complain. Am I the only one? No, we're all there. We all do this. Verse 30, they were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them. While they were chewing on the blessings of God, they were still cursing God and questioning whether or not He could provide. God had just opened up a rock and gave them water in a dry and a desert land. God had just provided quail. There was nothing but sand that way. There was nothing but sand that way. There was nothing but sand that direction. Nothing but sand that direction. And you got 2 to 3 million Jews in the middle of a desert by themselves. And God brings a whole cloud of quail. Drops them right on Him. They may have already been dead and fried too. How'd you like a bucket of fried chicken just to fall in your lap? Amen. Praise God. Let's pray and eat. Here, God brought it to them. And while they were eating it, they were still full of their own lust. They were still complaining, questioning whether God could do something. We get this way in our lives. God blesses. God gives us a home. God gives us a family. Raising children for the glory of God, and God's given us blessing, God's given us mercy, and God's given us grace, and God's provided us with a job where we can be able to work and be able to supply for our family and be able to tithe and give, and yet we complain all about it. And we gripe and we moan and we wonder, what's God doing? Gary, set up for me. I told you Brother Brad's going to elbow drop you in the head. Here, the wrath of God came upon them. And slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still, and believed not for His wondrous works. They watched the works of God. They watched the blessings of God. And in the midst of it all, the Bible says they sinned still. They still doubted. Therefore, their days did He consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. Verse 34, when He slew them, then they sought Him. They returned, inquired early after God. Here they came back to God. They remembered that God was their rock and the high God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. Here they came back to the presence of God. And they heard about the grace of God, and they heard how God was going to provide, and they heard how God was going to take care of things. And they began to get right with God. They came down to an altar. Look at what the Bible says. Here, the Bible says they did flatter Him with their mouth. Here they came down to an altar. They spent some time in prayer. You ever done that? You ever come down to an altar? You ever spend some time in prayer? You ever tell God, hey, I'm going to do this. God, I'm going to serve You. God, I'm going to lead my family to serve You. God, I'm going to raise my children for the glory of God. You come down and you flatter God with your lips. What happened? They lied unto them with their tongues. You ever made a promise to God you didn't keep? Have you? You ever made a promise to God you didn't keep? You ever came down to an altar, God worked on your heart, and God convicted you about something, and you came down and you flattered God. You said, God, I want to be a godly man. God, I want to raise my children for you. God, I want to leave my wife to serve you. God, I want to do more for the church. God, I want to give more. God, I want to be a blessing. God, I can be used by you. God, I know you can do it. We flatter God with our tongues and with our lips. We come down and we make promises to God. But look at verse 37. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. You say, how is it we can come down to an altar and we can pray and we can tell God we're going to do all these wonderful things and then we get up and we don't do any of them? Because your heart's still not right with God. That's what your Bible says. You're reading it right there with me, aren't you? What's the next verse? Verse 37. It says, for their heart was not right with him. I just love it when God puts it right out there in the Bible. This is exactly what they went through. This is exactly what you and I go through. We come down and we tell God, I'm going to do this and I'm going to serve you and I'm going to live this way and I'm going to do this and I'm going to raise my family for the glory of God. But then we've got some reserves in our heart. We question, can God really use me? We question, God, can you really do this in my family? God, I've got a tall ask for you. God, I want to raise my children for you and for your glory, but God, I just don't know if you can. Well, do you believe God or do you not? You're saying one thing with your mouth and you're saying another thing with your mind. I mean, what's going on? Do you really believe God? I believe that God can do it. I just don't know if God can do it for me. That's kind of like the guy in the New Testament said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Right? God, I believe you can do it. I just don't always believe you can do it for me. Well, let me rest you assured here this morning that God can do it for you. Amen. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Absolutely, God can furnish a table in the wilderness. God gave them water when there was no water. God gave them bread when there was no bread. God gave them quail when there was no quail. All they had to do was trust God. Many times they chose not to. Their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. You say, how do I get my heart right with God? You got to get steadfast in His Word. You got to get rooted and grounded in this. You see, the Word of God is our final authority in all of our faith and all of our practice and everything that we do. God said it, that settles it. Listen, I don't care if you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it, period. There's an old Southern gospel song they used to sing back in the day, probably still sing it today. It says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, they could just remove the part that says, I believe it, because it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. God said it, and that's it. That settles it. Now, it does help when you believe it. You need to be steadfast in His covenant. What else does the Bible say? Once we get right with God, once we get steadfast in His Word, verse 38, but He, being full of compassion. Aren't you glad you serve a compassionate God? Aren't you glad you serve a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances? Listen, we've had second and third and fourth and fifth and 17 chances already this week. And it's just Sunday. Amen. Some of you came to church this morning, you didn't want to be here, but you came anyway. Amen. Why? Because God is full of compassion. He forgave us. He forgave their iniquity. He destroyed them not. What does it say? Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. There are a lot of times in your life where God could have stirred up His wrath. There are a lot of times in your life where God could have just set it all on fire and moved on from your life. There's a lot of times in my life where God could have done that. The girls got up and sang a song, I'll stay true to the Lord. That ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our desire. The third verse says, oh, please listen to this truth. Favor God while in your youth before the evil day shall come when you will have to say, Lord, I went the wrong way. Why not serve Christ? Take a stand and say, I'll stay true to the Lord. Here it says, He's full of compassion. He forgives us. He destroys us not. He turned His anger away. He didn't stir up all His wrath. Verse 39, for He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How many times you limited God in your life? How many times you prayed for something, didn't believe that God could do it, and so God didn't do it? Listen to me. There's a lot of times we pray for things, and because we don't believe, God doesn't answer. They remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. Here, Psalms chapter 78, I believe the children of Israel suffered from what we would label as a spiritual DUI. Some of you know what a DUI is. You've got some experience. All right. Here we're talking about a spiritual DUI. Here, they were discontent. God had provided water. God had provided quail. God had provided manna. God provided all this stuff, and they still complained. They were discontent. Here, they had unbelief. That's the U, D-U. They had unbelief. They didn't believe that God could do it. Listen, they were raised. Some of them were raised from a child, and all they saw were the miracles of God in the wilderness. There were children that were born in the wilderness, and they never outgrew their clothes. They never outgrew their shoes. They were always provided for with their food and their clothing and their shelter, and God always worked a miracle in their life. That's all they knew were the blessings of God. And they still doubted God. Some of you kids in here, all you know is church. All you know is a godly home. All you know are parents that love the Lord and parents that are sacrificing and trying to provide for you to be in a godly environment in a Christian school. This is all you know. And you still don't believe God can work in your life. Are you listening to me? There's unbelief. Here, they were discontent. You can even say they were disobedient. They had unbelief. And then the I, they had a form of ingratitude. They were just unthankful. God had worked, and God had blessed, and God had provided. And they look at the provision of God, and they look at the man, and they say, really? This is all you got? They look at the quail, and they say, really? I'm tired of this meat. This is all we've been eating. Instead of realizing these are blessings from God. Some of you live in a godly home. And your children have been raised in a godly environment. And all you know is the good godly music. And you've not been infiltrated by the things of this world. And you look at your parents and you're like, really? This is all we got? Yeah. All I got is the blessings of God. I'm sorry. What else are you looking for? A lot of people who are ungrateful. And they show a form of ingratitude. We look at God and we say, God, really? Is this all you got for my family? God, we're struggling and God, we're doing this and God, we're doing that. Are you paying attention, boy? Sit up. I'm trying to save your life, all right? I'm trying to help you, okay? Some of us, we go through our life and we wonder, I'm trying to do everything I can for the glory of God. I'm trying to raise my children for God. And God, I wonder, God, is this really everything that I have? Is this really everything that you got for me? And sometimes we miss out on the blessings of God. Because we lack faith. I'm trying to share with you my heart this morning. Here they ask the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Three truths I want to help you with this morning. Number one, God can. God can furnish the table. God can work in your family. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse number 6, we won't go back. Let's go back and look at it. 1 Samuel 14. You got to see it. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse number 6. Here, Jonathan, the son of Saul, is here with his armor bearer, and they're coming to a garrison of Philistines. And here, Jonathan had come through, and they were all by themselves, and they see a garrison that's there, so it's anywhere between 16 and 34 different soldiers that are there. Verse number 6, and Jonathan said to a young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison. He's uncircumcised. He said, let's go fight these guys. By the way, that's why David got along so well with Jonathan. They had the same spirit, these bunch of uncircumcised Philistines. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I'm with thee according to thy heart. Here, Jonathan had a good friend of his who was an armor bearer. And he said, hey, it may be that God can work on our behalf. There's a garrison of uncircumcised Philistines over there. We can go and we can conquer them for the glory of God. We can go and slaughter them and kill them and take the land. And we can go and do exactly what God has commanded us to do. Are you with me? Here the armor bearer says, man, I'm with you. Everything that you want to do, let's go do it. I'm going to follow after you because I believe you're trusting in your God. I'm going to trust in you by trusting your God. And they go and they conquer the Philistines. But notice the question that Jonathan asked, or the statement that he said. He said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Some of you may be in a point in your life where you're asking that question. Hey, it may be that God can do that for my family. It may be that God can help us raise godly kids. It may be that God can honor and bless me and you as a spouse, as a husband and wife situation. It may be that God can work in our homes. It may be that if we put the kids in the Christian school, that God can salvage their lives. It may be that if we get faithful to church and we join a place where God has brought us to, it may be that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. It may be that God can do something for us. And you're questioning that. Let me go ahead and answer that question for you. God can. God can. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, God can furnish a table. It may be God can do a work on our behalf. It may be that if we just simply apply the truths of the Word of God, that God can work in our family and God can work in our home. It may be that God can do it. Let me tell you, hey, God can do it. God can work in your home. God can work in your family. God can give you deliverance and protection. God's made you promises all throughout His Word, but they are contingent upon your obedience. That if you will do this, then God will do that. See, in your life, God can provide money for the Christian school. In your life, God can provide money for your budget if you would not waste it and if you would start tithing. In your life, God can protect your family. God can provide for your children. God can work on your behalf. God can. Is this truth number one? Understand, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God do this? Number one, yes, God can. God can do it. Number two, understand this, God does do it. Not only can God, not only, yes, when you ask can God, not only God can, but God does. Number two, God does. You say, how does God provide? Well, here God provided them quail. Here, God provided them manna. Here, God provided them water. You said, but that's not in my life. Listen, God gave you clothes on your back, didn't you? Of course He did. That's why you're not here naked today. But they're not new. Get over it. God still provided it. God's blessed you. God's given you so much. God's given you breath to breathe. God's given you a home to live in. God's given you food on your table. How many of you have gone 3 days without eating? Anybody in here? No, didn't think so, because none of us look like it. Amen. We're all eating. Ain't none of us missing any meals. Why? Because God's providing for us. God's working. You say, no, no, I'm doing all that. Listen, God gave you the health to work the job, to make the money, to provide the food. God gave you all of that. God purified the waters there at Marah. God gave them the Ten Commandments, the truth, the testimonies to live by. God gave them a tabernacle to worship Him in. Listen, God gave you the Word of God to follow. God gave you a church to come to worship Him in. God gave you so much in your life. God gave you life each and every day. God blesses you with health. God provides for you when you least expect it. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, God can. And yes, God does. Amen. Every day of your life, God gives you blessings. He daily loadeth you with benefits, the Bible says. Then thirdly, I want you to notice this. God can, God does, and thirdly, God will. God will. We used to have a guy we used to go to church with in Jacksonville, Bible Baptist Church, Brother Lounsbury, Brother Mark Lounsbury. He used to go around all the time and he'd say the same thing. God can, God does, and God will. He said it all the time. Anytime he preached in our high school chapel, he'd always preach and he'd say, listen, God can, God does, and God will in your life. It's a simple truth. God can, God does, and God will. But if you can't catch hold of that truth, then you're never going to go anywhere with God in your Christian walk. You're going to spend all your life doubting and questioning whether or not God can in your life, whether or not God does in your life, and whether or not God will in your life. But I'll tell you, listen, God will only if you will. Go back to verse 41. Psalm 78, verse 41. God will only if you will. The Bible says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel.
Some of you looking at your life and you're saying, well, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm coming to church and I'm reading my Bible and I'm tithing and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Really, are you? Are you? Because here it says they turned back, they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. We limit God by our disobedience. We limit God by our unbelief. We limit God by our ingratitude.
You have someone that you're close to, and you do for them, and you love them, and you try to go beyond and try to care for them. And then they turn around, they slap you in the face, and they spit all over the blessings that you've given to them. Right. How does that make you feel? Makes you feel like you don't want to do anything for them again, right?
Well, if you're going to treat me that way, then why would I do that?
I wonder how often we've done that to God. God's blessed us with life. God's given us grace. God's given us mercy. God's given us salvation. God's given us an opportunity to serve Him.
Yet we've turned our back. We've been armed with bows. We've been armed and were ready in the day of battle like the children of Ephraim were. Yet they turned back in the day of battle.
Here the children of Israel, they turned back. They tempted God. What did they do? They limited the Holy One of Israel. Understand this morning, the only limitations God has in your family, are you listening to me? The only limitations God has in your family are the ones you place on Him.
Can God furnish a table?
Yes, He can, if you believe Him.
Listen, I'm not preaching a feel-good gospel this morning. The fact is true in the Word of God. If you trust God, you will not limit His blessings in your life.
Hold your place here. Go to Hebrews 11. I'll show it to you. These promises are made all throughout Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the faith chapter. I like to call it the hall of faith. Amen. The world has the hall of fame. God has the hall of faith. It's right here. Look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Why are you always at odds with God? Well, how much do you trust God?
Amen. We come to an altar and we tell God we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we flatter Him with our words, yet we go back and we don't do anything that He said we would do. We don't trust God.
Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Why? For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Here's the truth. If I'm going to come to God, I got to believe that God is.
Not just that God is God, but that God is my provider, that God is my sustenance, that God is the one who's going to give me everything in my life. I must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Meaning that I'm going to go back, I'm going to borrow your Bible, I'm going to go back to the Word of God, and I'm going to begin to seek after Him. I'm going to begin to look through the Word of God. I'm going to begin to read His Word. I'm going to begin to find out what God has for me, and how I'm supposed to raise my family for the glory of God, and how I'm supposed to live this godly Christian life. I'm going to diligently seek after Him in His Word,
but I'm also going to diligently seek after Him when I come to church and I faithfully attend the house of God.
I'm going to do what God has commanded me to do.
If we don't do those things, don't tell me you have faith in God.
Listen to me. If we're not doing those things, don't tell me you have faith in God. Don't tell me that you're trusting God to provide in your home, then you're not faithful to the house of God. Don't tell me you're trusting God to provide for your home and you're not reading the Word of God and you're not spending time in prayer and you're not faithfully giving and you're not doing what God's commanded you to do already.
We limit the Holy One of Israel because we're not faithful doing what God's commanded us to do already. Listen, if you're not going to live in the known will of God, don't expect God to reveal more to you. It's that simple. If you're not doing what you already know to do, God's not going to give you more responsibility. It's just like you at your job. If your boss has to constantly come to you and check up on you and make sure that you're doing X, Y, and Z and you're following through with what he's already given you to do, if you can't do the simple task, they're not going to promote you and give you more. Correct?
It's the same way in the Christian life.
If we're not doing the simple things that God's told us to do, reading His Word, praying, coming faithfully to the house of God, tithing 10%, doing what God has commanded us to do, being a soul winner and reaching people for the gospel's sake. If we're not doing these things, it's no wonder that we're not going anywhere with God because we've limited the Holy One of Israel. God's blessings are only limited by your obedience. You move, then God moves. Here are the children of Israel. They were armed. They were carrying bows. They were ready. Everything had been furnished for them to be successful for the cause of Christ. They got to a point in their life where they were disobedient and discontent. They got to a point to where they didn't believe God. They had unbelief. And they got to a point where they were ungrateful. They showed ingratitude. They had a spiritual DUI. And so they asked the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can He give streams? Can He provide bread? Can He provide meat? Can He do this? Well, let me ask you a question. Is anything too hard for God? We're going to ask, can God do this? Let me ask you a question. Do you think God can do it? If God has already done this in your life, and God has already provided, God's already saved you from an eternal hell, and God's already salvaged your family, and God's already worked on your behalf, what makes you think that God can't continue to work on your behalf? We get to the point in our life where we question if God can even do anything at all, and we forget the blessings of God. The question this morning that you've got to ask in your life is, can God? And the answer you've got to be able to give is, God can, God does, and God will. Every time in your life. Some of you may be here this morning, and you may have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Can God save a sinner like me? Yeah, God can. Looking around the room, God can, man. God can. Does God really value my life? Yeah, God does. Man, look around the room. If I could tell you the story of where God brought me from and where God's got me at, if we go around the room and share testimony after testimony of each person in this room and how God has salvaged our lives. Yeah, God does that. God's still in the saving business. Will God work on my behalf? I tell you, yes, God will. He does so much for me every day. God will. All you got to do is trust Him. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Can God? God can. God does. And God will. You've got to trust Him, though. The children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel because of their unbelief. Jesus Christ did not many mighty works there in Capernaum because of their unbelief. We limit God's working in our lives because we try to figure things out on our own. Some of you may be in some financial stress right now. Some of you may be in a world of hurt as far as your marriage is concerned. Some of you may be holding on by a thread. Some of you may have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And you're asking the question, can God? I want you to rest assured this morning that God can, God does, and God will in your life.